It's a Tuesday on the Daily Tip. Welcome back. Thanks for waking up with us. We always appreciate your time. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Coming up in 2 minutes, D-Day and Double D have all the takes, but do we agree with them or not? So when we were talking about the Tyreek Hill injury, that's just adding to a long list of injuries in the NFL. CeeDee Lamb, Joe Burrow, Malik Nabers. You can go down the list, and that particularly affects fantasy teams. I don't think you're a big fantasy player. I believe we've talked about this, where you would be more inclined to focus on the gambling aspect as opposed to gambling and fantasy, because a lot of people are in fantasy, and I get that, and I'm not going to tell you about my fantasy teams because, meh, whatever. But it does have a huge effect when these big names are out.
Yeah. Well, and for these teams, obviously, as well. Mm-hmm. But I'm not a big fantasy player for that reason, because imagine you drafted Joe Burrow and Malik Nabers and CeeDee Lamb, and all these guys are just hurt. And so it just feels like your fantasy team just takes a nosedive. So as opposed to doing that, why don't you play props every single week? And these aren't just going to hamstring you for the entire season. It just feels like less of a commitment.
I used to be really into fantasy, and as I've gotten older, I've just kind of faded away. Like, I have two fantasy teams, and I look at them just very, very residually. I'm like, yeah, that guy's out. Okay, whatever. I'll sub this guy in. Like, I keep my roster filled, and I'm sort of on it, but I'm not nearly as hardcore as I used to be. And the guys I used to play with are not as hardcore as they used to be. I don't know if it's just sort of fatigue or just interest moving elsewhere. I still get sort of excited about it, but not like I used to. And I think gambling has a lot to do with that, because I'm more focused on, well, let me handicap instead of spend time like trying to figure out who could be my wide receiver three this week.
Yeah, it feels like fantasy football was like gambling 1.0. Like, before gambling right. was a thing and before we could bet on props, that was the best available option. So that's fine. But now we have fantasy football 2.0, which is simply betting on props and anytime touchdowns. So it feels like, why would you bet on that? Why would you live on America Online 3.0 when you can have AOL 7.0? It just doesn't make sense to me.
Did you see America Online like a month ago officially closed up shop? Did you see that? Finally, after all this time? I thought it was years ago. Yeah, what a run. I had no idea they were still going. That's crazy. And I remember, was it Ted Leonsis who owns, I think so, he owns the Wizards and Capitals, obviously, here in D.C., and was one of the founders with Steve Case of America Online. And I believe he sent the first ever, like, private message. And I believe he told this story, I need to double check this, where, you know, he's at work, and then he sends something to his wife, like, hey, can you see this? Which, of course, now you don't think anything about that. Very common. But back in the day, it was like the first ever, like, hey, I'm somewhere here. Are you getting this? And she did. And that was sort of the advent of all these messaging, you know, programs and software that we see now. And of course, you can do it on your phone all the time. But, you know, there was a time when he was on the cusp of that, and it was also new and exciting. And that's a really cool story to have.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, this was such a big social component of growing up for my generation. Because, like, think about it. Like, when you don't have a car and you don't have, like, a way to have really a social life, you sit at home and you type on that computer and you talk to people on AOL. And you're like, ooh, my favorite person just got online. It's time to start these skills and try to say something cool and craft a great message. Or do you remember away messages? Like, this was a time to, like, flex your muscle. I'm like, ooh, I'm going to do lowercase, uppercase, lowercase, uppercase, and it's gonna look really, really cool.
Wow, they're gonna be like, wow, she spent some time on this. What a cool away message that Chelsea left. Back Bay, what was it? Your name on AOL?
963.
Yeah. Bring it back. Bring it back. Back Babe, 963. What? 693-963 at gmail.com.
963.
Okay. Tell them you bring it back. Well, I don't think Double D, and maybe D, maybe Double D, not D. Denton is too young for this, but Double D, bring on in here. Let's do Take Tuesday.
It's time for Take Tuesday. Are these takes hot?
So hot.
So hot.
Or not?
You can't handle the truth.
You too young for AOL Instant Messenger, Double D?
No.
What? Oh, okay.
AOL was the hot thing when I was growing up.
Okay.
It was hot.
Hot.
I still... What gets me nowadays is when people still have their AOL email addresses. hey, how can I get a hold of you? And they're like, oh, blah, 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 at AOL.com. And I'm like, all right.
If that doesn't work, send it to my Hotmail. I'm like, oh, wow. You doubled down on that, did you?
It's not. All
right, what do you got for us, buddy?
All right, first one, first take up. Oregon is the best team in college football, and you should run to get your national title ticket on them at plus 600.
Chelsea?
I feel like this is not a hot take because they're the number two team in the country. So, like, I feel like this is a very, you know, logical take because of their big win that they just had on the road in overtime against Penn State. I feel like you look at the rest of their schedule, too, and it lines up so nicely for them. Even their next game, which looks kind of trappy against a good Indiana team, but they get 2 weeks to prepare for it, and that's a home game. Then they have Rutgers, Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota, USC, and Washington on the road, which may be a little tricky, but still, this is a good Oregon team. But they don't even face Ohio State in the regular season. Like, I was looking for them to make the college football playoff. They're minus 1,800. So the odds makers are thinking that they're already in. They're certainly going to have a good chance. But I think more than the national championship bet, I think I like them to finish the regular season undefeated. It's plus 150, not a ton of value there. But the schedule lines up so nicely for them. And this is a really well-coached and great team. So I think any way you slice it, any futures bet on Oregon doesn't feel like a hot take, in my opinion. It feels like a really good one.
Yeah, I'm with you, Double D. It's hard to argue with this take. They're so good on both lines of scrimmage. Like, on the offensive line, on the defensive line. We saw that against Penn State. And I will say that Dante Moore, I didn't know how he was going to be this year after sitting out and sort of waiting his turn last year after coming back to Oregon. But, man, he looked awesome in that game. Dan Lanning's on a Coke run. Good for him. So they look great right now. I'm not doubting the Ducks, so I would agree with that.
All right, to the NFL we go here. The first fired head coach in the NFL will not be Mike McDaniel. It won't be Brian Daboll. It won't even be Brian Callahan. It will instead be Ravens head coach John Harbaugh.
Nah.
Ooh.
I was looking at the odds yesterday. He's not even in the top 10 of coaches to be fired. I think it's an interesting take that I hear a lot of people saying, but ultimately the Ravens aren't going to let go of a guy who has won a Super Bowl with them, who has taken them deep into the playoffs, not over the hump with Lamar Jackson, and also has lost to Bills, Lions, Chiefs. Now, that could certainly change if we go throughout the season, they start losing games they shouldn't lose. Ravens have a tough road ahead. They're really banged up on defense. I mean, they lost another player or two yesterday for the season. Lamar is not right, so this could be a rough road for them, but I think right now, I would not put any money on John Harbaugh. I think Brian Callahan probably the first guy to go. It looks awful there in Tennessee, which you know.
Oh, absolutely. It has to be Brian Callahan, especially because of the way that the schedule lines up. In week six, the Titans play the Patriots. And do you know who the coach of the Patriots is? Mike Vrabel, who was once the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. If Mike Vrabel and the Patriots put the absolute beatdown on the Titans, which everybody is doing these days, even the lowly Texans, they've got to fire him after that. And I understand, like, midseason firings are a big deal. And that's why I don't think they're going to fire John Harbaugh, you know, midway through the season, especially because the schedule has just been so tough. And they have had so many injuries, and he's won a Super Bowl. So maybe give the guy some credit. So I do think it's Brian Callahan. For a while, I thought maybe it'd be Mike McDaniel. But Brian Callahan is absolutely winless. He is absolutely hapless. He is going back and forth with the media members here when it comes to press conferences. So I feel like he is the favorite for a reason.
All right, back to college football. Vanderbilt is better than they were last year, dominated every game so far, and may have the best offensive line in the SEC. So Vandy is an absolute threat to make the college football playoffs at plus 375.
They're a threat. They are a threat. I just want to see a little more. I want to see them. They have a massive schedule. Like, the heart of their schedule is coming up. Like, they go to Bama, then it's they host LSU, they host Missouri, they go to Texas, they host Auburn. So right now they look great. Everything's going their way. Clark Lee is a fantastic head coach. Those players just live and die for him. We know how good Pavia is. I think he's trying to play an extra year in college football, which is absolutely insane. So I like Vandy a lot, but I haven't seen enough against these really top-tier teams in the heart of their schedule, which they're about to get into, to put money on them yet.
I think here's the X factor for Vandy. The fact that they have been one of the most penalized teams in the SEC this year. They have been extremely sloppy, and maybe that just shows how good they are. You know, the fact that they can overcome all these penalties. But if you look at their games this season, they've had two games with at least 10 penalties. They've had at least five in every single game. So they've had 7, 11, 5, 10, and 8. With some of those coming for big yardage, 91 yards against Utah State, you cannot play that sloppily and expect to beat some of the best teams in the SEC. So certainly the talent is there, but they need to clean up those penalties.
All right, my final take here. I am not a fan of taunting, but I need the NFL to make an amendment to taunting penalties. I think any defensive back moving forward that celebrates for not actually doing anything should get penalized at least 10 yards. I don't want to see a seatbelt celebration because a quarterback overthrew a guy that beat you. I don't want to see no waving to the crowd because a quarterback overthrew a guy that beat you. If you celebrate for not actually doing anything, you deserve to be penalized.
Oh, these penalties are the worst. There's no question. Which is... it's something that's interesting because the NFL is what? Hammering, dropping the hammer this year on unsportsmanlike conduct and celebrating unnecessarily. They focus so much on what you do after a touchdown, I feel like, or, you know, something that's more offensive as opposed to a defensive celebration. But you see this all the time and they don't do anything. And there's nothing more annoying than a guy who doesn't really contribute to a play and acts like he just won the Super Bowl. So I'm for this.
I don't know how you'd enforce it, though, because I feel like there are multiple guys who do this, and you're like, you are not even on the same side of the field. And also, doesn't it feel like it's a part of, like, the fibers of being for cornerbacks? Like, when I think of, like, cornerbacks, I'm like, oh, that guy's going to be celebrating. If somebody dropped a pass, I just think of that, like, that's their narrative.
Yeah, it is. But also, isn't it kind of out of control? Like, they just keep pushing the envelope. Like, you see a guy on the sideline, like, locking down. Like, dude, you're not even playing. So, I get the frustration. Coming up next, playoff baseball is here. But not before we check out some series prices. Hour 2 is next on The Daily Tip.